हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः। हरि ओम ओम सदा शिव समारंभां व्यास शंकर मध्यमां अस्मदाचार्य पर्यन्तां वंदे गुरु परंपरां श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानां आलयं करुणालयं नमामि भगवत्पादशंकरं लोकशंकरं शंकरं शंकराचार्यं केशवं बादरायणं सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वंदे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः। ईश्वरो गुरुरात्मेति मूर्तिभेदविभागिने व्योमवद्व्याप्तदेहाय दक्षिणामूर्तये नमः। ॐ सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। नौ वी आर सीइंग शंकर भगवत्पादास कमेंटरी इन विच ही एस्टैब्लिशेस आत्मज्ञानम एंड कर्म कैनॉट बी कंबाइंड बिकॉज देयर इज अ ज्ञान कर्म समुच्चयवादी। देयर आर पीपल हु वॉन्ट टू try, they want to combine both the pursuits, both disciplines together. Even though the basic reason why they cannot be combined is they are diagonally opposed to each other. If you take even Brahma Sutrani, the very introductory commentary, Sadhyasa Bhashyam, where he establishes Tamah Prakashavat Viruddha Dharmayoho, they are opposed to each other like light and darkness. How can we expect light and darkness to be together simultaneously? Impossible. Similarly, knowledge, self-knowledge and karma cannot coexist. That is the basic difference. So we had to continue with what we saw yesterday, but still, as I promised yesterday, I'll make it very clear this fact, how karma, any action for that matter, is a product of ignorance. The Shastram presents the teaching like this. There is ignorance, there is knowledge, there is reality, there is absolute reality, which is imperceptible, unobjectifiable, indescribable. And there is also ignorance. There is reality, there is also ignorance. And this ignorance is otherwise said to be the power of reality. And this ignorance which is looked upon as power of reality is total ignorance. Total ignorance, which is said to be power of reality, meant by many words, avidya, ajnanam, prakritihi, maya, avyakritam, avyaktam, avyakritihi, pradhanam. Now you've got 8 words. All these different words are used to mean, a few more names are there, okay? Now I remember only 8. These mula is called mula vidya. Why is it called mula vidya? Because it is not created. This ajnanam is also not created. What is that actually meant by this word ajnanam? Actually, it is power of reality. Reality and its power. I use the word and its power. Actually, and is not correct to use because it's inseparable. The power of reality is inseparable from the reality. Like what? The illumining power is inseparable from any source of light. Sun or moon or star or lightning or even these so-called lights, lamps, fire. Power of illumining is inseparable from the source of light. Power of burning is inseparable from the source of burning, the fire. The power of becoming waves, power of becoming waves is inseparable from water in the ocean. Like power is always inseparable from its source. That is why the source of power is said to be powerful. The source of power is said to be powerful, which means the power is inseparable, means power cannot exist independently from its source. I'm going step by step, very carefully, because this teaching is not only for Ishavasya Upanishad, it is for understanding the teaching in any Upanishad. It's all basic, very important teaching. So power is inseparable from its source. And the source of the power is said to be powerful. And the powerful source is distinct from the power, but not distant from the power. Like burning power and light have no distance in between. Power of burning and fire do not have any distance in between them. Because power is inseparable, when you say the source of the power is powerful. And the source of the power is independent of the power. The source of the power is not dependent on the power for its existence. Every sentence I'm saying is very important here. The source of the power is not dependent on the power for its existence. Whereas power does not have independent existence of its own by itself. Power is dependent on its source for its existence. So either power and its source are inseparable, but still source is distinct from, the source of the power is distinct from the power. independent of the power. The power is dependent on the source. Therefore, the source is Satyam, and the power of this power is Mithya. Satyam and Mithya are two orders of the only reality. So the power is not countable as a parallel reality. Power can never be counted as a parallel reality. The source of the powerful alone, is countable. Countable, taken into account, which that alone has existence, independent existence. Therefore, reality alone, when you say the source of the power is Satyam, the power is Mithya. How many realities are there? One. Similarly here, so the absolute reality, the ultimate truth, is implied by the term Atma or Brahma is Satyam, and the power of reality is Mithya. Brahma Shakti, Atma Shakti, Chit Shakti, Shiva Shakti. These are so many words. And this Moola Vidya, total ignorance, otherwise called power. When is this power known by the term ignorance? This power is given two different names. The power of reality is given two different names. Two different words are used to indicate the power. One word is Ajnanam, another word is Jnanam. The power is given two different names. When is this power known as Ajnanam? When is this power known as Jnanam? When the power is unmanifest, okay, the power of reality remains unmanifest, totally remains unmanifest, it is called Ajnanam. Power of reality, when it remains totally unmanifest, it's called Ajnanam. The power of reality is manifest, it is given the name Jnanam. Is it clear? Jnanam and Ajnanam are two different words used to indicate the only power of reality. When it is manifest, it is known by the term Jnanam. When it is unmanifest, it is known by the term Ajnanam. So manifest means being recognizable. Being recognizable is being manifest. Not being recognizable and non-recognizable is what? Being unmanifest. You understand this? Only by analyzing your deep sleep state, you can understand how this total ignorance would be, otherwise known by the term Maya. You can never understand Maya. You can understand Maya through the model of your own deep sleep state. the analysis of the deep sleep state. Directly you can never understand Maya. Because when Maya is there, this power is totally unmanifest, you cannot be here. How can you understand Maya? I always tell this example. Suppose the child who sees parents' marriage album, 3-4 year old child sees parents' marriage album, and the mother and father are there, a lot of pictures. The child looks for itself, searches for his own picture. Where am I? No. The whole album is searching, the child gets very upset. Goes and argues with the parents. Why come that in all photos you both are there, I am not there. What can parents tell? The marriage photo, you cannot be there. You came only after that. After marriage only, you came into existence. So how can you be there? How a child cannot be in the parents' marriage album? I'm talking about the first child of the first husband wife. Similarly, we can never understand Maya. And the Maya is there, we wouldn't have that individuality in Maya. Anyway, but still we can understand how through the analysis of our deep sleep state, we can understand what it means by saying total ignorance. In sleep, see, the word sleep itself is used to mean when the power is totally unmanifest, we call it the sleep. In fact, Mahapralayaha is also sleep. Death is also longer sleep. Every day you sleep, also sleep. Every day we fall asleep. Sometimes daytime also we sleep. That's a different problem. Sleep, death is also sleep. Pralaya is also longest sleep. Sleep, long sleep, longest sleep is pralaya. In all these three conditions, the power is totally unmanifest. You can understand your own, because we have to understand everything based on our experience. And Shruti helps us understand everything by helping us analyze our own experiences. In sleep, there is no knowledge of existence of yourself. In sleep, there is no knowledge of existence of the world. You all must be with me, because this is important to understand. Any Upanishad also later on, the Kena, which we plan to do. When there is no knowledge of mere even existence of the self and the world, the knowledge of the existence of the world is possible only if there is knowledge of the existence of one's own self. When there is no knowledge at all of knowledge of the existence of the self itself is not there, means there cannot be knowledge of existence of anything else. Then that state is called what? Deep sleep state. Then we call it total ignorance. That is how you are in deep sleep state, so you will be in death. When death happens also, that's how we will be. Even when pralayam takes place also, suppose imagine, it takes place once in four yugas. Before that, hundreds of thousands and millions of times will come and go. It's okay. Even when pralayam takes place also, that's how we will all be. How we are in sleep, so we will be in death, so we will be in pralayam also. Which means nothing happens to us. How, when you are in sleep, there are no divisions, there are no differences, there is no duality, there is no plurality. In sleep, all of us have Advaita Anubhavaha. We have experience of non-duality in sleep, but we do not have the vision of non-duality. Advaita Anubhavaha is different from Advaita Darshanam. What is Advaita Anubhavaha? In sleep, there is experience of non-duality, which means there is no divisions, no differences. But when you are having Advaita Anubhavaha, you cannot talk about Anubhavaha. When you have Advaita Anubhavaha, when you have the experience of non-duality, you cannot talk about your experience. No, I can talk about. It means you do not have the experience. Why? All you are up. You say, I can talk about my experience means what? You have come into existence. Isn't it? A duality has come. So you cannot. So whenever you can talk about your non-dual experience only in duality. Advaita Anubhavaha. I am the world is the division, duality is not there in sleep. Differences are not there. Plurality is not there. How you are in sleep? Just be, go back to sleep. We keep awake. Go back to your sleep. Advaita Anubhavaha means divisionlessness, differencelessness. There's no knower known duality. There's no world of plurality. There are no divisions. There are no differences. This is called Advaita Anubhavaha. So we are not interested in Advaita Anubhavaha. We are interested in Advaita Darshanam. We want Advaita Anubhavaha. You need to, what you need to do is just fall asleep, lie down and sleep. Have a comfortable bed and try to sleep. You will have Advaita Anubhavaha. You don't need to study Vedanta for Advaita Anubhavaha. Experience of non-duality. But for Advaita Darshanam, we have to study Vedanta Shastra. Anyway, what I want to say, there is the power of reality is totally unmanifest. We call it Ajnanam Avidya. And it is the power of reality becomes manifest. It's manifest. What is the name? Jnanam. Manifestation of power is called Jnanam. The unmanifest power is called Ajnanam. But there is power of reality is manifest. But for the power to become manifest, it needs a Sukshma, the manifesting medium. it is a sukshma. It is no sukshma, it cannot become manifest. In all these grass, in all these inert things, in what we call certain things inert things, inert beings, non-living things. The non-living things also are pervaded by reality. But there is no manifestation of power. Reality is, the power of reality is there. Wherever reality is, there must be inseparably power, its power. Wherever fire is, the power of burning is inseparably with the fire. Wherever the source of light is, the power of illumining is inseparably with its source. So wherever the reality is, the power also is inseparably with the reality. So the whole jagat is pervaded by reality, means the power of reality is also inseparably everywhere. But the power has to become manifest for the reality to be recognizable. So recognizability of reality is dependent on the manifestation of its power. Okay. So reality is not dependent on its power for its existence, being the very source of the power, but reality is dependent on its power for its manifestation, for its recognizability. The power has to become manifest, only then reality becomes recognizable. Sometimes when people are very quiet, they are very unassuming, you don't even know who they are. There is something, big actions they do, we understand how these people are, how potential people are, how resourceful people are, how capable people are. When do you understand the power people? When they do something. So always power becomes recognizable. Capacity, capabilities, the potentiality becomes recognizable only when they do something. Isn't it? Woman comes and sits and eats with us simply. We see her, one of the women, and she goes to stage that dances. Oh, she can dance well. The potentiality becomes expressed through an action. Is it clear? Similarly, one in recognizability needs expression, isn't it? So here the power becomes manifest, the knowledge, the reality becomes recognizable. The power of reality is not manifest, unmanifest, reality is also non-recognizable. But for the power to become manifest, it is dependent on subtle, something subtle. If there is no subtle, then it cannot become manifest. Sukshma is not there, manifestation is not possible. I explained this in one of my classes before, how the power of reality is manifest in all living beings. So that's why only in living beings, only in living beings we can recognize the manifestation of the power of reality. Because it's a sukshma. In non-living things, reality is, power of reality of course is there inseparably, they are separable, but still power is not manifest in non-living things. Why? Because there is no sukshma. So wherever power is not manifest, there reality is non-recognizable. Therefore, what do we think? You see the wall, you see a mountain, a piece of rock or water, you think, oh, there is no reality. No, not reality in the sense what? Reality in terms of knowledge or consciousness. Difficult for us to accept the fact there is consciousness in everything. There is power of consciousness in everything. Very difficult. Because we cannot see through physical eyes. We cannot infer in any way. We cannot describe also. So difficult. But where do we recognize the reality? Wherever it is manifest. Where is it manifest? Wherever there is sukshma. But there is a difference in sukshma. There is level of difference in sukshma. So in keeping with the level of sukshma, subtle body, level of manifestation also is different. So in all other living beings, like plants, amoeba, paramecium, onwards, all parents, all, no? Even in fish, everywhere, all living creatures, we see reality is, power of reality is manifest, and that manifest power is called the knowledge. We understand reality in the form of manifest power is everywhere in the form of knowledge. And I also said this, this power of reality is manifest in human sukshma sharidam also everywhere. But the highest form of manifestation of power of reality is only in human mind. And the highest form of manifestation of power of reality is in the form of knowledge of the existence of one's own self. I explained this even in one of my previous classes. So when this manifestation, it is recognizable. Knowledge, recognizable power is knowledge. Non-recognizable power is unmanifest power, is called ignorance. So ignorance is a name given to the non-recognizable unmanifest power. Knowledge is a name given to the manifest recognizable power. Now tell me, how many sources of power are there? Only one source of power. Whether unmanifest power or manifest power, the source of power is only one. And that power is, source of power is reality implied by the term Atma or Brahma. And the power of reality is power of knowing. Power of knowing unmanifest is Ajnanam. Power of knowing manifest is Jnanam. Means knowing is the power, means the source power of reality is knowing. Means what about the source of the power? Source of power is knowledge, pure knowledge. Now we distinguish the manifest knowledge is, okay, manifest knowledge is Jnanam. Source of power, manifest power is Jnanam. Unmanifest power is Ajnanam. The source of power is pure Jnanam. Pure knowledge, manifest, okay, manifest power, unmanifest power. Is it clear now? Pure knowledge. Why do you add the word adjective pure? There is no impure knowledge. But you just distinguish the source of manifestation from the manifestation. We use, add this adjective pure, shuddham, chaitanyam. Why you add pure? We have to use adjective always to distinguish one from the other. But there are not two sources are not there. Only one source is there. But still we add the adjective to distinguish the source of manifestation from the manifestation. Manifestation is what? Knowledge. Source of manifestation is pure knowledge. Is it clear now? Now tell me, where does jnanam exist? Where does ajnanam exist? What is the locus of knowledge and ignorance? Ignorance, knowledge, being only power, doesn't exist outside of, independent of reality. Knowledge also is knowledge. Ignorance also is knowledge. Is it clear? Knowledge is knowledge. Ignorance also is knowledge. What is only knowledge. You too, so 1 second for you to think. Do you see this? Now, this knowledge, what is partially manifest. Okay, when you say, in human mind alone, there is manifestation of knowledge, highest form of manifestation, in terms of knowledge of existence of the self, obtains in the form of a thought, in terms of I am. How the thought is, you have to understand thought in terms of the manifestation of knowledge. Oh, when there is knowledge, you can understand there is a thought. And you know there is knowledge. You know you are. But it's only, Shastra says, it's only partial manifestation. There's no still manifest, power of manifestation is not totally manifest. So level of manifestation differs from being to being in keeping with the level of condition of the sukshma. But even a physical, human physical body, also there is manifestation of knowledge. But of all the parts, the human mind is very special, the highest form of manifestation of knowledge, in terms of knowledge of the existence of the self, obtaining in our thought, in terms of I am, is there. Even heart, lung, kidney, etc., nowhere there's manifestation of knowledge of the existence of the self. Only in mind. Okay, that must be very clear. And even there, only partial manifestation. There's power of reality is not totally manifest. But if it is totally unmanifest also, even though power of reality is manifest in all living beings as knowledge, there is knowledge in all living beings, but the highest form of manifestation is not there. Knowledge of the existence of self is not there. Therefore, still we say, all these living beings where knowledge being manifest is recognizable, still they, all these living beings remain steeped in total ignorance. Because there is no self-consciousness, self-awareness, there is no knowledge of the existence of the self. Is it clear? But only in human mind we say there is partial manifestation in terms of I am. So then ignorance is, where ignorance is total when we say, okay, is total ignorance in all the living beings, other creatures. Therefore, they do not have any suffering. They do not have any experience of pairs of opposites. They do not have any, no such a thing called emotional problems, mental problems. emotional dependence, emotional problems on the part of other living beings. And there's also such a thing called emotional need on the part of other living beings. Therefore, they are totally, they remain total ignorance, means how you are in sleep, so there all, there is knowledge manifest to a certain level, but still they can, that knowledge is only adequate for them to live their lives. For a plant to live a plant life, enough knowledge is there. For any animal to live its animal's life, adequate knowledge is there. It is there, it survives, it dies, eats, reproduces and dies. But the emotional problem is only for a human being. Emotional need, emotional urge, emotional dependence, the problems but the mind are there only for a human being. Superiority complex, inferiority complex, all sorts of problems only human being has. Because human being alone has what? This mind, and especially partial knowledge. Knowledge of the existence of the self. Is it clear? And still there's partial ignorance. There's knowledge of the existence of the self is manifest. What this self is, that knowledge is not manifest. Naturally is not manifest. I am is there. What this I is, what this I am is, where does it rise from? Where does it exist? Where does it dissolve? This jnanam is not there. Therefore this knowledge has to become total. If the knowledge becomes total, in total knowledge, there is, Shastram says, there is freedom. In total ignorance, I already explained this, in total ignorance there is bliss. But in partial, half knowledge, half ignorance, there is bondage. That is why I gave the example yesterday, what explained, in dim light alone, error is possible. In bright light, error is not possible. You will see the rope as a rope, then there is no problem. Error is not possible. In total darkness also, error is not possible. Similarly, please understand, in total ignorance, there is no error possible. You do not, there is no mistake in sleep, deep sleep state. When you are fast asleep, do you have any identity with the body mind sense complex? Do you know you are sleeping? When you are fast asleep, you do not know you are sleeping also. You have to wake up from sleep to say that you, to know that you slept. So you don't know identity with the body mind sense complex in sleep. There is no such a thing called identity, identification in sleep. Why? No identification possible in sleep. Because there is no knowledge of existence of the self. There is no manifestation of knowledge. Therefore, there is no identity possible. In total ignorance, identity is not possible. In total knowledge, there will be right identity. So in total ignorance, there is non-identity. In total knowledge, there is right identity. In partial knowledge, there is a wrong identity. Non-identity, right identity, wrong identity. Talk about the karma, I had to go and take me to all these places. Why there is error? why there is error, what causes. See, when you listen to all these things, you are listening openly. It helps you understand how things are naturally. So that there is no need for us to be guilty of anything. It's just completely Shastra teaching is for you, first of all, to avoid self-condemnation. Also to avoid self-negligence. Okay. You have to see, just to, you don't, there's no need for us to have any guilt. It relieves you of all the guilt. How naturally understand things are. So what causes the error? What is the cause for error now? Error is not possible in total ignorance. Error is not possible in total knowledge. Error is possible only in partial knowledge. So right identity, wrong identity, non-identity. And when the knowledge is manifest, manifestation of knowledge is dependent on manifesting medium, which is mind. And the mind is functional. Mind is also what? Associated with the physical body. Naturally, there's no, even though mind is distinct from, sukshma is distinct from this thulam, different from this thulam, but it is there's no distance between sukshma and this thulam. There's no distance between mind and manifest knowledge, okay, manifestation. Therefore, what happens? Just as there's no distance between water and ocean, or wave, light and opaque, there's no distance between manifestation, the manifesting medium, mind. There's no distance between mind and physical body. Therefore, what happens? There is error happens. Error is possible. Wrong identity is possible. Proximity. That's why it's called upadhi. I told you that day, if the glass is here, the crystal container is here, the flower is there, then there cannot be, the color of the flower cannot be seen in this crystal. Crystal cannot have the color of the flower. There must be closeness, proximity. Only then the crystal can become an upadhi for the flower. Is it clear? So here also, we have to understand there's no distance, distinct but not distance. Therefore, because of the proximity, this I, which is distinct from I, is just one subtlest manifestation of knowledge obtaining in the form of a thought in terms of I am, which is distinct from the body, mind, sense complex, though not distant from them, is identified with mind, thereby sense organs, or powers of organs of actions, physiological functions, and the entire body. How far the mind can pervade, so far I sense also pervades. Is it clear now? And this is how wrong identity happens. Now, what is the cause of error? Adhyasa. Adhyasaha means erroneous self-perception. Mistake happens. Error happens because of partial ignorance. Is it clear now? Ajnanat adhyasaha. Then, once the error takes place, body is taken for I, this subtlest manifestation of knowledge obtaining in the form of thought, which is distinct from the body, minds and rest of the body and sense organs, etc., which comes and goes, is identified with the gross body, mind, sense organs, all of them. In deep sleep state, identity is not possible because the knowledge, I sense, is not there. I sense comes, identity comes. I sense resolves, identity goes. Whenever identity goes, what happens? Sukham. In wrong identity, there's dukkham. Identity is not there, bliss. In total ignorance, there's non-identity, there's bliss. In partial knowledge, there's wrong identity, there is dukkham. Okay. Therefore, it's wrong. Identity is what? Adhyasaha. Ajnanam is the root cause. I want you to understand here. For adhyasa, the immediate cause, the root cause of adhyasa is ajnanam. Now, because of this adhyasa, what happens next? The problem is adhyaropaha. See, these terms are introduced in the very introduction to Vedanta. These are discussed even in Brahma Sutra. Why? The terms are very important. Adhyaropaha means superimposition. Actually, both these words are used in the same meaning also. So don't get confused. Adhyaropaha also is used in the sense of error. Is also erroneous superimposition of limitations of the body mind sense complex upon I. Okay, so I is not fat. I doesn't even have a form. How can I can be taken to be fat? The root is somewhere under the earth. But how can the root say I am very tall? How can the root say I am very tall? Tree is tall, isn't it? The height belongs to the tree. The root is inseparable from the tree. The root, the tallness does not belong to the root. Is it clear? Similarly here, I doesn't have fatness, I doesn't have weight, I doesn't have height, I doesn't have disease, I is free. But I is identified with the physical body. Therefore, the physical body's limitations, the problems or any attributes, the limitations of physical body become superimposed upon I. Not only physical bodies, the problems are the dharmas, attributes of physiological functions also become superimposed upon I. Wherever identity is, whatever the I is identified with, all their problems, limitations become superimposed upon the I. So being limited is the nature of everything here. Body has its own limitations. Sense organs have their own limitations. They are beautiful. Body is so wonderful, nice. It has come into existence. It is there in the order to serve a given purpose. It is an abode of enjoyment. And so we have to understand, but limitations are superimposed. Similarly, the sense organs have their own purpose. They're beautiful, wonderful. They serve their purpose, but they have their own limitations. They have their own problems. So even their problems are superimposed upon I. The powers of organs of actions, their problems become superimposed upon I. mind, sankalpa kalpatmakam manaha, mind also as an instrument has its own problems. The I is one of the thoughts, my God, first the foremost of the thoughts, and rest of the emotions etc. belong to mind. The emotions which are actually mind, emotions thus constitute mind, desire, anger, fear, anxiety etc. are the thoughts which rise and resolve in the form of mind, and they all become superimposed upon I. And also intellect has its own dharma, and dharmas of intellect means the entire antakaranam has its own dharma. All of them become superimposed upon I. Okay, and when you analyze the deep sleep state and waking state, even that ignorance is become superimposed upon I. We analyze the deep sleep state on waking up from sleep. In waking state, even you identify yourself with even that total ignorance. What do you say? I was ignorant. Understand? So, that's why it's called Karana Shairam. Also, is identified with you. This identity is with all three Shairams. Identity with the Karana Shairam, which obtains only in deep sleep state, also you have identity in waking state, because you can recollect your experience. Identity is with Sukshma also, in Sthula also. And all their limitations and attributes, dharmas, become superimposed upon I. Once you mistake the body as I, then body's problems become I's problems. Problems belonging to the I. This is called superimposition adhyaropaha. If I do all these things, I can avoid all these things in Kena. Is it clear now? Adhyaropaha. Now, ajnanam, adhyasaha, adhyaropaha. Now, what is the immediate cause of adhyaropaha? What is the moola karanam of adhyaropaha? Ajnanam is the moola karanam. Adhyasa is the immediate cause. Adhyasa is the immediate cause of adhyaropaha. Ajnanam is the root cause. Immediate cause, root cause. Now once adhyaropa happens, then your identity being with anatma, body, mind's complex, adhyaropa being there, and you take, then use I is seen through this superimposition. You see yourself through these superimpositions. When you see yourself through superimpositions, what happens? Then the notions come. All notions. So wrong notions are based on the superimposition of limitations of anatma upon the atma because of wrong erroneous perception caused by ignorance. I'm bringing all of them. Ignorance, ajnanam, adhyasaha, adhyaropaha. And what are the notions? Okay. I am a mortal. First thing comes, I am a mortal. We don't talk about it every day, but it is there. I am a mortal. I am going to die one day. I was born. I am unhappy, I am insignificant, I am insecure. All these things come. Once I am a mortal, a strong notion comes. I am a mortal is a notion which is, I am a mortal is a notion, what is this notion? Erroneous notion. Therefore, I am itself, the knowledge of existence of one's own self in terms of I am itself is not a problem. It's a blessing in disguise. It is because of this manifestation of knowledge of existence of self in terms of I am, the knowledge of what I am is possible. It's a blessing in disguise. At the same time, the wrong identity, adhyaropaha, adhyasaha, adhyaropaha, now result in what? Result? Erroneous notion. So this I am is knowledge, anything you add it to I am based on the erroneous self-perception becomes wrong notion, is called ahankaraha. Okay, the knowledge I am, without this knowledge of existence of self obtaining in him of thought in terms of I am, how can there be wrong notion? Is it clear? Therefore, ahankaraha is not wrong to have ahankara. It is natural to have ahankara. Wrong notion, I am a mortal. This notion comes. Now, what is the cause of, what is the immediate cause of ahankaraha? Adhyaropaha. Adhyaropaha, adhyasaha. What is the root cause of ahankaraha? Ajnanam. Is it clear? So ahankaraha is a product of ignorance. When you look at this cause, what causes? Root cause of ajnanam. Ahankara is ajnanam. If the effect has to resolve, cause has to be resolved. Without having resolved the cause, effect cannot be resolved. Karanasya nashe, karyasya nashaha. Is it clear now? So immediate cause. That is why, now tell me, what is this ahankaraha? Have you understood now? Erroneous notion every individual entertains about one's own self. Now, are we holding on to this ahankaraha? Are we tightly holding on to the ahankara like this? No. We are not holding on to ahankara. Understand? Ahankara is naturally there. Whatever naturally is there is holding on to us. Therefore, can you give up ahankara? It is wrong teaching. Okay? Somebody comes and tells you, give up ahankara, it's wrong. You know why? You are not holding on to ahankara tightly like this. So, give up ahankara. Go away like that. See, lot of misconceptions. That's what I'm telling you. We are not holding on to wrong notion. Wrong notion is holding on to us. So, we have to free ourselves from the hold of, okay, wrong notion. You can free yourself from the hold of wrong notion. You cannot give up ahankara because you are not holding on to ahankara. Is it clear? What is ahankara is understood now. If ahankara has to resolve, the only way you have to resolve is what? Adhyaropa has to resolve. Adhyaropa has to resolve, adhyasa has to resolve. Adhyasa has to resolve, ajnanam has to resolve. So you have to see immediate cause, root cause. It's called paramparaya. Okay, one by one it happens. Now, once you have a wrong notion, I'm a mortal, that is when that wrong notion alone is becomes the cause for the common human fundamental desire. What is the desire? I want to live. I want to live long, and I want to live long happily. This is a common human fundamental desire. And what? Why does this desire to live come, first of all, tell me? Why does this desire come? Because you do not know you are the very life of everything here. Okay? Yourself being the very life, you mistake yourself. No? Because now you want to live, the desire to live itself comes because of the notion that you are a mortal. You are going to die. I am a mortal is a wrong notion. I am going to die is a wrong notion. Based on wrong perception. Caused by ignorance. Is it clear? If this notion, if I am a mortal is not there, imagine. I am a mortal. If this notion is not there. If there is no identity with the body, mind is common. If you already know I am Atma, timeless, beginningless, endless, changeless, indestructible Atma I am. Then will you say I want to live? Will you say that? You won't say. Well, the doctor tells you are perfectly healthy, your blood report shows everything is perfect. Your cholesterol, your sugar, everything is perfect, 100% perfect. You also do yoga every day and you are fit, healthy. You don't need anything, medicines, you are healthy. Then you go and ask the doctor, should I take some magnesium tablets or should I take some other tablets? The doctor says, no, you are healthy, you don't need any medication. When you ask again and again, I want some medicine or the other. The doctor thinks you are healthy, but you have a strong notion you are sick. Okay? Even though you are perfectly healthy, but you have a notion that you are sick. Therefore, you ask for medicines. Understand? Your desire for medicine is because of the wrong notion you are sick. But you are healthy. Is it clear? Similarly, here also, I want to live that desire itself. I want to live long, happily. The desire itself is because of the notion I am a mortal. See, you were never born. You are not going to die. In you, everything comes and goes. You are ever free from birth and death. Shastram tells, no, I am a mortal, I am going to die. I want to live long. This way Bhagavan is helpless. If I go and pray, oh Bhagavan, please give me long life. What can Bhagavan do? He will only teach you, understand what I am saying? He will make you understand, you have no birth. You have no death. I cannot make you live long. You are the very life. Swami used to give the example. Go and ask Bhagavan. Bhagavan, hey Bhagavan, I want a head. Swami said, I have already given you one. But you don't know you have one. And he has to hold your hand, make you touch and see. This is what your head is. Like that, you are already life. A beginningless, endless, birthless, deathless, indestructible self. But you do not know. Therefore you have a notion, I am a mortal. And because of this notion, I am a mortal, this desire to live long, happily comes. Is it clear? This is the fundamental desire. And the Shastra says, this common human fundamental desire to live long happily is the root cause. Okay? Root cause, desire, which is the desire, disease, and all other desires to go on a cruise, to enjoy that, to enjoy this, all forms of desires are symptoms of this disease of fundamental desire. any number of desires, whoever has any desire, all desires have their basis because of this desire. This fundamental desire is resolved, all the desires will become resolved. Is it clear now? Now tell me, what is the cause of the desire? What causes the desire? Any desire for anything in the world, very natural. All desires are very, very natural. And desires are in the form of our likes and dislikes. All desires, all likes and dislikes are because of this fundamental desire. And what is the immediate cause of any desire? A fundamental desire. What is the cause of the fundamental desire? No, wrong notion. Ahankara. Understand? Ahankara, what is the immediate cause? Adhyaropa. What is the immediate cause of adhyaropa? Adhyasaha. What is the immediate cause of adhyasa? Ajnana. And what is the root cause of desire? Moola karanam, ajnana. Therefore, desire is a product of ignorance. Now, tell me, somebody comes and tells you, desires cause problems in life. Please give up all your desires. Can you do that? Can you give up your desires? Can you give some desires? If you ask me, do you have desire for me eating meat? I said, definitely, I don't need to give up. It's not there for me. If somebody asked me, would you like to eat some apple pie, eggless, vegan? Yes. Now, what I want to say here, we are desires, and desire for anything is very natural. And we are not creating our desires. See, it's all part of us. I want you to see how this is all part of you. It's all there naturally and on the part of every individual. It's all very basic understanding, very important. Basic clarity must be very clear. All these facts must be very, very clear. Understanding any number of concepts afterwards will not make any sense. The basic must be very, very clear. Thanks to Pujya Swamiji. So we are not creating desires. Therefore, we cannot undo our desires, we cannot destroy our desires, nor can we destroy other people's desires. Desire is a natural phenomenon which also rises in the form of a thought. Objects of desire may vary from person to person. Desires may vary from person to person, but the phenomenon called desire is very natural for everybody. So root cause of the desire is ignorance. Therefore, we are not holding on to desires. We cannot give up desires. Is it clear? Even if people already have understood this very clearly, it is very important for them to anybody to listen, so that to be able to even explain to other people. So that we cannot give up desires. Telling somebody give up your desires is a not thoughtful teaching. To understand what desire is. Desire is a very, very natural expression, natural phenomenon, which is an expression of one's basic fundamental desire to live. Okay, when the desire comes, desire for many things come, all these different desires for different objects are all an expression of this one fundamental desire, which is caused by the very notion that I am a mortal. And the one desire comes, desire needs to get expressed. To fulfill, the desire needs to be fulfilled, because a natural phenomenon, desire needs to be fulfilled, and for the fulfillment of desire results is dependent on action. Karma has come. If there is no desire at all in your mind, what will happen? You will not move an inch from where you are. Okay. Here you have to understand two different things. There are desires which are cultivated desires, which we can fulfill, we need not fulfill also. Nothing will happen to us if we do not fulfill. But there are natural urges. Cultivated desires can be fulfilled, need not be fulfilled. But there are natural urges over which we do not have any say. The natural urges are there at the physical level, like hunger, thirst, results in I want to eat, I have to eat, I want to drink. This is also expression of desire only, but it's a natural urge. So we cannot do anything, this is a problem, because it causes discomfort. Hunger is there, it causes discomfort. Thirst is there, it causes discomfort. Anything which causes discomfort is disease. That's why hunger is disease. And what is the medicine? Annam. Annam amritam. Food is medicine. In Sanskritam, food is also called aushadam. Okay, any food must be vegetarian. From the herbs. Oshadibhya annam. Anything pertaining to oshadhi, herb is called aushadam. Medicine is aushadam. Food is also aushadam, because food is vegetarian. Oshadibhyo annam annat purushaha. You come across this very famous quote, sentence mantra from Taittiriya Upanishad. Anybody will know. Isn't it? Because food also is medicine, because it cures the discomfort. Disease caused disease, isn't it? A discomfort of caused by hunger. Now what about similarly, I want to eat and I want to drink, not after finishing food again I want to eat second cake, third cake, that is not fun. That is wrong thing, okay? When I'm very hungry, I want to eat food is what? I want to eat something means it is a natural urge. It has to be addressed. Similarly, I want to live. It's a very important thing to understand this. Please do listen. I want to live. I want to live long. I want to live long happily. I want to be happy always, everywhere, with everybody. This desire, the common human fundamental desire, is also natural emotional urge, which is not cultivated a desire. Like I told you, even previously I told in another class also, the same thing I mentioned in one of my previous classes. We don't need to fulfill this desire, some other desire. Some desires we don't need to fulfill. I want to have a garden like this. I can fulfill, I don't need to fulfill. It's not going to do any harm to me. But natural urges have to be fulfilled. So this I want to live long, happily, always a natural emotional urge which needs to be fulfilled. And this urge itself is caused by what? Is expression of wrong notion you have about yourself. Everything is natural. I want to understand everything is natural here. Nothing is created. That is how the order is. That is why Shastram we have to study only without asking any questions in between. By the time you finish to listen to the whole teaching, all our questions, whatever you have, will resolve. Shastram will never answer your questions. Shastram will help you resolve all your questions. The question itself will disappear. Because all our questions are based on a wrong understanding. What did God create? What to do? All such of questions. Just keep on listening to the teaching. All your queries will resolve one by one. Okay. Now, therefore, desire has come into the picture. And because of this desire, action. Whether mundane activity or sacred or secular, mundane or religious, any activity, any action is to handle our desires. If no action possible, desire is there, you will have smoke here. Okay? When you have desires, you must be able to do something to fulfill those desires, otherwise you will go mad. Understand what madness is now? Why? Mental health. Mental health, wellness is dependent on how we maintain, handle these desires. So action. That is why Veda Mata in Karma Kanda, so many rituals have been prescribed. The rituals prescribed in Karma Kanda is what? It's also action only. We call it a Vaidikam Karma. Sacred activity. Religious activity. And other activities what we do to live our life, to earn a livelihood. Getting up and brushing and going, bathing and all those things to live our lives, they are all mundane activities. Laukikam karma. So Vaidikam karma, Laukikam karma, secular, sacred, religious, mundane, all activities are for handling our desires. Is it clear now? And what is the immediate cause of karma? What is the immediate cause of karma? Desire. Likes and dislikes. What is the root cause of karma? Ignorance. If karma is what now? Product of ignorance. Therefore, karma being the product of ignorance, karma can never delete ignorance. I know I did the same class, or not during these sessions, I did mention this, but I wanted to really make you clarify, because we have talked about the karma. Karma is product of ignorance. You have to see ajnanam, adhyasaha, adhyaropaha, asha, adhyaropaha, then ahankaraha, asha. Asha is kama. And Shastram uses the term kama. Asha is kamaha, desire. Kama, karma. So avidya, kama, karma. These three words are used in Shastram. There is in between adhyasa, adhyaropa are all left and understood. Avidya, kama, karma. Is it clear now? Once the kama is there, karma comes. And once we perform actions And how do we perform actions? With the very strong notion, I am the doer. When the action is performed, then comes another wrong notion, doership comes. I am the doer. Body is involved in all activities. Body is active because of the blessing of the Karmendriyani. Karmendriyani are functional because of the blessing of Gyanendriyani. Gyanendriyani are functional because of the function of mind. And mind is functional because of the blessing of the Atma, manifestation of knowledge. But what do we think? Look at everything as Ishvara, isn't it? But we're not able to see it. And I am the doer notion comes. And the physical body is involved, I am the doer notion is there. I am the doer also. Doer is added, the doer is added to I am. This is what now? Wrong notion. Ahankara. I am is knowledge. I am the doer is Ahankara. And something comes, success comes or failure comes, something pairs of opposite, something happens. I suffer a lot. You know, some name comes, fame comes, popularity comes, oh, the whole world is appreciating you for all the good work you're doing. And what do you say? I did it. I only did it. I planned it. It's all my plan. Hand goes to the chest. I did it. Means what? I am the doer. And failure comes. Somebody, people all blame you for that. I only did it. Hand goes to the head. Then, hand goes to the chest means you are proud. Hand goes to the, here, you know, guilt. And then you are guilty. I only did it. Which means, the notion is what? I am the doer. And suffering goes, then I am the enjoyer. So kartrutvam and bhoktrutvam comes, what now? Because of karma. Again notion gets, this card what now? Ahankara becomes much more bloated. I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, means you are bloated. Is it clear now? Then karma produces phalam. Any action, whether you like it, you don't like it, whatever intention is involved or not, the nature of action is actually motion. Any action is nothing but motion. All actions are motions, movements only. Therefore, any action should produce a result. It is law of karma. And results are there, and the results have to be exhausted. Results will come, results have to be exhausted. And results take their own time to fructify. All results of all actions will not happen immediately after action. The results are of, results have their own nature. All results cannot happen immediately. They take their own time to fructify. That is the nature of results of actions. Because they are determined by the laws, natural laws. Therefore, all results cannot be exhausted immediately. Therefore, all sometimes the results of actions, the actions produce twofold results, drishtam phalam, adrishtam phalam. Drishtam phalam means sometimes you go experience some results for which the cause is known. The cause of what you enjoy is known, it is called drishtam phalam. Okay, suppose I eat something and I feel satisfied, that is drishtam phalam. cholesterol goes up later on, blood report tells that is adrishtam phalam. Understand? Weight goes up. That is adrishtam phalam. What this example I'm giving? Okay, which is not seen immediately. So, see, please understand very carefully. I just don't take it seriously, my examples. What I'm saying, there something what you experience, what you go through in life, for which the cause is unknown, it's called adrishtam phalam, unseen. If the cause is unseen, it's adrishtam phalam. The cause is known, this drishtam phalam. Okay? Adrishtam means it's going to come later on. And then you will not know, oh my God, what is the reason? How did it come? Adrishtam. Tomatoes grow very well in the gardens. And you all go, oh, I never planted any thing. How did tomatoes are growing here? Only Parvati, for Parvati it is drishtam phalam. Other it is adrishtam phalam. Because you don't know how. Is it clear? So the results take their own time to fructify. All the results are there. But they have to be exhausted. To exhaust them, you have to be born again. So janma. I'll come back and teach you. Okay? I'll come back and continue. Samaji, I need a few more sessions for to complete this. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om. Oh, questions? I'm sorry, I didn't ask for the questions. No questions?
Oh, sorry. I had a question.
I'm sorry, today I just thought...
You said that if there is total ignorance, absolute ignorance, there is no manifestation and there is bliss. But then we say that the ignorance is the source of adhyasa, the wrong perception. So there are like...
Ignorance, the cause of ignorance, yeah.
So there are like two kinds of ignorance. Total ignorance where there can be no adhyasa. And there is another ignorance which is the source of adhyasa.
No, not... There's, when you say there's no ignorance at all, how can be the other ignorance? The ignorance is a power. Unmanifest power of reality is called ignorance. Okay? Power of reality manifest is knowledge. But only partial power is manifest as knowledge. There is no other ignorance. Moola vidya, avidya. We differentiate it. See, total ignorance is called moola vidya. In ignorance, suppose I told in the class, I do not know French. How do I know? I know I do not know French. My ignorance is known to me. Ignorance is known to me. Ignorance is, when ignorance is an object of my knowledge, is a mental trait of the mind. It's okay. But when I do not even know my own existence, I do not know this. Nothing is that, that is moola vidya, total ignorance. So that is moola vidya is actually unmanifest power of reality. But I do not know French, I know Tamil, if I say there is knowledge of ignorance, knowledge of language, knowledge is known to me. What I know is I know what I know, I know what I do not know. I do not know French, I know Tamil. Means knowledge of Tamil is known to me. Ignorance of French is known to me. Ignorance and knowledge both are objects of knowledge. the mental traits.
You also mentioned there is an ignorance that we don't know. I don't know that I don't know.
Ah, yeah, that is ignorance of ignorance of ignorance. Ignorance of ignorance. Yeah, I know, I know, I know, I don't know, I know, no, I do not know that I do not know. That's the problem, yeah. Not, that's also ignorance only. Have you answered a question or not? Something. But I tell you, even ignorance of ignorance of ignorance is known to you. Okay, sir.
So, you explained that the process of Anyanam, Vyasa, Vyarupa, Hankara, etc. is a natural process. Now, all these natural things are not the true nature of who we are. So at the same time, although there is ahamkara, I'm the self, I'm not this ahamkara. So the rising of knowledge of who we truly are, which is never this ahamkara, desires, etc., if I understand correctly, depends on dawn of discrimination, viveka, which comes from purity of mind. The more the mind becomes pure, like you explained through living a life of karma yoga, etc., etc., mind gradually becomes more pure. The sense of who we are becomes more accurate, and the desires naturally resolve as the identity becomes more clear. So although these things are nature, all the change that you explain is nature, and desires, etc., they gradually resolve by themselves through the purity of mind and dawn of discrimination. Because you said one cannot give up desires.
Yeah.
But desires are being given up naturally as discrimination dawns through purity of mind. Discrimination leads to distension.
No, no. I tell you, Swamiji, see, all these are very natural. So we cannot, nothing can be, see, because nothing is created. Understand what I'm saying? When everything is very natural, see, I is like everything else is. So nothing is created means nothing can be destroyed. But the thing is, now they have to be resolved. For which knowledge is the only means, we say. But karma yoga, why karma yoga is emphasized? Karma yoga will help us manage these natural phenomena obtaining in the form of our emotions, desires, anger, hatred, etc. If we do not manage them, then they will express themselves in the form of our behavior and actions, which will cause, which will disturb the order. Others will become the victims of the problems, and we ourselves will be suffering more. They need to be managed. So what is the, because they cannot be destroyed at all, what is the way how we can handle? Only in jnanam they will resolve. Now you know why? When the cause is resolved, all of them will simultaneously resolve. This is called, this is what they say in Tamil, they say kundodu kailasam. All of them go together as one family. Ignorance with the whole family travels together. It seems all of them will resolve together, not one by one. Simultaneously will resolve everything. Doership will go, enjoyership will go, punya papams will go, sanchitam goes, agami goes, isn't it? Everything goes, this year, everything resolves. When the vision becomes very clear, all of them will resolve simultaneously. And then there is no disturbance. That's called peace. And that is when there is fullness, happiness. there's no dukkham there. This is what Shastram teaches. But until this jnanam takes place, where should the jnanam rise? This partial manifestation has to happen. This harsh half knowledge should become total knowledge. And for total knowledge here, we need a pramanam. And the Veda is the pramanam. So Veda helps. And we do shravanam. So it will help. But until this jnanam takes place, these emotions have to be managed. If you do not manage them, there is no way of having the jnanam. We'll be again, 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 we'll be retained in samsara. That is why karma yoga is emphasized. Because karma, doing karma is very natural. So Shastra says, do karma, which is very natural, but do like this. Have this disciplines. Simply doing is very natural. We cannot, see, Shastram cannot stop us from doing. Like how a child cannot be stopped from pulling something. Because very natural inside, so much the driven. How can you stop the fire from burning? How can you stop anything? It's swabhava. So being active is very, we're driven, and there's so much of, you know, the pressure is the inner pressure. The pressure pushes us to do action, to be active. So it can't be stopped. So Shastram tells, okay, do with this proper attitude. And have this dharma. Dharma is dharma, anushtanam. Dharma is brought into the picture. Do anything you do, want to do, you do, fulfill any number of desires, no problem, but in conformity with dharma. This is the measuring scale. That helps you only manage the emotions. They cannot be resolved. The karma can never resolve, because karma itself is the product of desire. How can karma put end to the desire? Tell me. Any number of actions you perform, no action can ever put an end to any desire. That's why any fulfillment of any number of fulfillment of desires will not put an end to the very desire. Because action being the product of desire, how can it undo the desire? No. The more you do, the more desires you come. More you do, more desires you come. This is why jnana. So, the karma yoga is only for you to be able to turn the attention from everything else to focus in Shastram. You need a mental disposition. Only for that mental disposition, karma, which is natural problem, itself is used here as a discipline to prepare your mind for jnanam. Sometimes, for some diseases, they give the poison to remove the poison. You know that? This chicken pox, small pox will come. You know that? What is the medicine? Already the books vaccinate. Already medicine, what the thing cause of, that which causes the pox, that is injected as a preventive thing. Like that, karma, which is actually binding, itself is used for your freedom. To prepare your mind. That is why karma, nobody needs to tell us to do karma. We'll be doing something useless, karma will be doing. Because we can't keep, because disease will be, the mind will, restless mind will push us. Mind is so restless. So being agitated and restless is very, very natural. We'll be involved in something or the other. That is why we are guided here. Do this karma. That's why karma kanda itself has come into the picture. That's why the karma yoga, converting mere karma into a preparatory discipline called karma yoga is right in the picture. So karma yoga also cannot remove ignorance. It can contribute for relative purity, not absolute purity. Karma yoga can never make a person absolutely pure. Karma yoga can contribute for relative purity, without which jnanam will be impossible. In jnanam, without effortlessly, there will be absolute purity. But absolute purity will be impossible without becoming relatively pure. So karma yoga is a must. That's why go through this problem. That's why sequential, isn't it? So made very clear. Go through karma yoga, prepare your mind, go through jnana yoga, attain jnanam, become free. This is the order. Even there again, we separately, this upasana also is taught, meditation is taught, again for, it's all for mental discipline. Because that is why jnanam takes. Only in jnanam, sarvam jnane parisamapyate. All solution is only jnanam. Ultimate solution is only jnanam. But for that, you need mental disposition. There's no way, no shortcut method other than living a life of karma yoga. So this exposure to the teaching, then only viveka comes. Living a life of karma yoga will help you discover even viveka. Oh, nothing can give me, nothing can make me happy. The viveka also comes because of karma yoga. Vivekam comes and vairagyam comes. You become all disciplined. Samashatkhampati comes. Mukshitta becomes firm. Then you are ready. Set off, isn't it? For jnanam. Then listen to Upanishad. Everything will go into you. Like how easily you can gulp anything. Otherwise, no preparedness means Upanishad class will feel, very tired. People can't sit in Upanishad classes. Amazing. Karma yoga definitely will bless you with viveka, vairagyam, shamadamani preparation. Then every class will just ping, go into your head. Otherwise, with the preparedness, Upanishad, that's why Vedanta is not for the majority of the people. It's for the prepared people. So I'm very happy to teach all of you also here. Help gradually others come to this. That's why I highly appreciate this, whatever is being taught here. Because there's no way of people coming to the Shastram, there's no way of uplifting themselves without these disciplines. No way. Go rotten otherwise. It's very, very important. All your contributions are really very, very important for society's well-being. And the world's wellness also. Have you answered your question, Swamiji? Have I? It's okay. We'll come back and see.